Support for KNKX comes from WSECU, offering 3 new Visa credit cards and 3 new checking accounts. WSECU's goal is to help make the right card make a difference. More information is available at WSECU.org. WSECU, serving Washington since 1957.
Hey, this is Sound Effect. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and on today's Midweek Podcast episode, we are going to be digging into a story that ran on an episode with the theme of My Brother's Keeper. And I'm sitting here with the producer of that story, Jennifer Wing. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, Gabriel.
So we're going to give a listen to this piece, and we'll talk a little bit more about it at the end. Sound all right?
That sounds great.
All right. So here it is. It's coming at you from Sound Effect on KNKX. If you saw a post in your Facebook feed or Instagram that said a family with 2 kids needed shelter for the night, what would you do? Well, in July of 2017, this is the request that Jenny Heidemann and her husband John Heidemann decided to respond to. They said yes. At the time, Jenny and her husband were raising 2 young kids in a modest split-level home in Spokane. The family that needed help was a couple with their infant and young child. They were living in a broken-down car in the blazing summer heat. They'd moved to Spokane to start a new life, and they had jobs, but they also had debts, and they just couldn't get any traction. Jenny tells us how what was supposed to be a one-night stay stretched to 8 months and brought her face-to-face with sides of herself that she never realized were there. And by the way, the family that needed help is fine with Jenny telling this story, but they're still working on rebuilding their lives, and they ask that we don't use their names. They arrived on a hot summer night.
I rushed down when I heard the garage door open to help them unpack, and a couple things struck me. First of all of their possessions were in garbage bags. Just because our possessions, they're not who we are, but at the same time, there's value. And that their things were just thrown in garbage bags just felt sad. So when this family first moved in, I just wanted to be Superwoman. And I just was kind of going to show them, like, this is how you live. I looked at them, to be honest, and this is a little embarrassing to admit, but just, you obviously don't have life quite figured out because you've struggled with homelessness, and we do have life figured out, and so we're just going to show you how to do this. And so that is just the point of view in which I lived my life, and it was exhausting and frankly wrong. So when they first moved in with us, it very quickly became apparent that there were some mental health issues that they were working through, and also addictions. And the addictions weren't, I think when we hear addictions, we immediately go to drug and alcohol addictions, but addictions take many forms, and their addictions were more in the realm of shopping and video game addictions. They wouldn't spend money at, like, they wouldn't go to Target and spend a lot of money or go to the mall and spend a lot of money. The gal that lived with us especially struggled with going to the dollar store. And when you're in crisis mode, you want to find a way out. And shopping obviously releases a little bit of that dopamine. And so every single day she would go to buy something. And, you know, things are a dollar, but that mentality is what was really tripping them up. Because if you spend $100 at the dollar store, it's still $100. And so, you know, we really had to have a conversation. One, I could relate to that with her. But man, these little tiny purchases are literally keeping you from being able to have a home. And so about a month in is when we had gained enough trust from them to really allow them to be more honest about their situation. And when we started getting into that, that's when we realized if we are going to help this family get into permanent housing, and more importantly, stay in permanent housing, they're going to have to be with us for quite a while. For the first few months that they were with us, I was trying to be Superwoman and just take care of everything. However, at the same time, I was also beginning, my health was beginning to suffer. I have a suppressed immune system from a childhood illness, and I'm constantly trying to overcompensate for that. And so at first I was going 100 miles an hour, but I was also really sick. By October is when my body just was done. It just said no more. And I had a respiratory infection that turned into an infection that went into the sac around my heart, and ended up going to the ER because I thought I was having a heart attack, and it turned out to be this infection. And the only cure for this was just to rest, to eat well, to sleep, and to kind of park it on the couch. And to me, that was completely humiliating because I was trying to show this family, this is how you do life, and you just push through pain. And yeah, we all have bad days, but you still get out of bed. And even when you have a headache or you're coughing, you just go. And then I had a doctor telling me, like, you can't go. I came home that next day from the hospital, and my husband had told the gal that was living with us that what had happened. And so that next day I sat on the couch and worked a little, but she did everything else. She cooked and cleaned and made our whole family dinner, and I was completely humbled by that. And it's important to share that a couple weeks before this happened, I was making dinner, and the gal came up and asked me a question that she'd asked me many times, and it was, can I do anything to help? And I answered her with the answer I always give, and that was, no, absolutely not. I don't worry about it. Just sit there. We'll just chat. I got this covered. However, this time she responded with something she had never said before, and that was, are you ever going to say yes to that question? And that stopped me in my tracks. It was at that point I realized, like, I think I'm teaching them something, but I might have a lot to learn here too. I realized that by constantly serving, constantly overtaking, really being in control of situations, it impacted her dignity. I was really keeping her down. I was also not giving her an opportunity to feel like she was a part of the team and of value. The thing that I had to learn was, one, get your pride out of the way. This is not about being superwoman. This is not about showing someone how to live their life. This is about loving people. And something that I struggled with for years is I would view people as projects. And I would befriend someone that was struggling, and I would literally think, I'll just be with them through this hard season, and then when they're fine, then I'll go on my way. This was a crash course, and people are not projects. We don't just come into someone's lives to fix them. We're with people. When you're with people, they also are gonna see the ugly parts of you. And that's something that I was trying to hide. But this family living with us for about 8 months, they saw me lose my temper with my kids. They saw my house be a disaster at times. They saw me lose my temper with my husband, get sick. They saw me also struggle with depression. And so this really taught me how to just let my guard down. My husband and I stopped looking at them as people to fix, and they stopped looking at us as their savior, essentially. And we really began to see each other as equals. My husband and I, at each of our birthdays, we tend to ask each other just simple questions, and it would be like, what is something that you want to have said you've done, or what's a goal you have for the next year? And so we were celebrating the man that lived with us. We were celebrating his birthday, and we asked him those questions, and he paused for quite a while before answering, and then said, "No one's ever asked me that before. I've never thought of that." They don't even have a chance to like cast dreams and visions for themselves. And when they had space and time to just not be in crisis mode for a little bit, they were able to begin to dream big dreams for themselves. They were finally able to find an apartment in April. They moved out April 3rd, 2017. My husband and I, through this experience, were completely changed. It opened our eyes to the complexities of homelessness. And then for my kids, that's yet to be determined how their lives have been impacted. My kids have this really curious, funny little habit of naming hills. So every time we go up a hill, they'll name it after someone. And so there's a, my son's names are Lincoln and Hudson. And so there's a Lincoln Hill and a Hudson Hill and a Papa Hill. And we were driving over a hill one day and they go, "Whose hill is this?" And I said, I don't know, whose hill is it? And then they named it for the one of the little boys that had been living with us. And then another hill is named after the mom that was living with us. And I realized like they're family members. And I guess that's also part of what we learned. Not only was our pride broken down, my pride, my compassion increased, but anyone can become family. And you just have to be willing to walk through hard, good stuff with people.
That story from Jenny Heidemann in Spokane. She says she's still extremely close with the family who lived with her for 8 months. They're in contact almost every day. Well, I'm here now with Jennifer Wing, who produced that story and spoke with Jenny Heidemann. And Jennifer, this kind of covers some familiar territory with you. I know that you had your own experience that gives you a little bit of insight into Jenny's situation. Could you tell us the story of that?
Yes. Well, yeah. Back in April 2011, I was walking my child to preschool and I encountered a family on the sidewalk in between Wallingford and the University District. And it was a mom and her two children, and her daughter, I think at the time was 12, and her son, I think, was 2.5, 3 years old. And I'm not going to use their names to protect their privacy.
Sure.
And they were clearly in distress. They had their belongings strewn all over this pretty gnarly sidewalk full of, you know, dog poop and trash and everything. And the mom was in tears, crying, distraught. And I picked up the phone and I called my husband and I said, "Could you bring the car down? I think we need to help these people." And so he did, and the family agreed to come with us. And
wait, let me pause you on that. So what was your first interaction with the mom like?
I asked what was going on, and she told me that she had paid for rent at a nearby apartment and that they took the money and locked them out, and that she in turn took whatever belongings they had, because she said that they had just moved down from Bellingham, and she was ready to start a new job in the next week or so, but she really had nowhere to go. So she took their belongings and stashed them in the bushes nearby, and someone had gotten into all of their stuff and had taken many things. And meanwhile, the daughter, who was there, dressed for school with a backpack and carrying a violin, she was starting her first day at middle school at the middle school in her neighborhood. And so there were many things going on, and the little boy was in an umbrella stroller, and he had a hot dog there. I just remember ketchup, and then he was drinking a can of Coffee Mate. non-dairy creamer out of the can because he had a milk allergy, and that's what the mom could get him at the time.
Oh, wow.
So I went into mom mode. I could tell that this woman had her hands full. And the first priority was, well, to gather their things up and take them off the side, off of this busy street, and bring the car down, but also to get her daughter to school. And again, this was her first day of school. So I walked.
Can you imagine starting middle school, like the worst of all the schools to start on a day like that?
I know. This young lady was pretty tough, pretty stoic. I dropped her off. I pretended, I think I said I was her aunt. here's the kid, and she's off. And she did reveal that that her one of the reasons why they were trying to live in that neighborhood was because the school has a really good music program. And so that was why she was headed there. So after that, it was a day of what I had planned was to work the phones and try and get this family into some housing, into a shelter. And so we brought the mom and the little boy back to our house and got them situated in a spare room and let the boy play outside and offered food and everything. And just went into the mode of working the phones and making call after call after call. And the mom, a pattern was starting to emerge where she was resisting going to certain places that required background checks and places that required people to be clean and sober. So I just realized there's more going on here than meets the eye. This is really complicated. And so the afternoon, the daughter came back to the house after a day at middle school, and my husband and I looked at each other and we realized they're going to spend the night. And so they did. And one of the things that happened, the daughter practiced her violin, and she was amazing. Absolutely incredible, like Vivaldi amazing.
Wow.
And to see this young woman play, this child play, a middle schooler, as well as she did, all these things were going through my head of, you know, all the time required to learn that instrument, the consistency that is required, the focus that is required. Like, it's hard to learn something like that in a chaotic environment. So we got everyone in bed, and meanwhile the mom, after all the phone calls, was just exhausted, and she slept and slept and slept. And and I started to ask the mom questions about, do you really have this job and that you said that you have lined up, and did you really lose your license that you said that you lost, and some big cracks were emerging, and she got really mad and just wanted to storm off and said, why are you doing this? You don't need to do it. And we both took a deep breath and calmed down, and I just realized I was in way over my head, and I said, look, we can't bring you back, because I realized I can't do what Jenny Heidemann did in that story. Our family just didn't have it in us to do what she did, which is incredible. And so I took this family, I took the mom and her son, and the closest thing that we could do to provide stability for them, which sounds horrible, was to put them in a motel on Highway 99 for 1 week. And it was walking distance to her daughter's middle school. And I felt like I failed them. We got her into the room, and she was so happy. Before we said goodbye, she ran across the room, and I didn't know what was coming. And she just wrestled me into this enormous bear hug and said, thank you. Thank you. And that was that? And so and a few weeks later, maybe it was actually a few months later, I was in the park near the middle school, and I ran into her daughter, and she was doing great. And we hugged, and I asked her how everything was going, and she said things were good and that they were housed. And over the years, I have checked in with them, and they're doing really well. The mom is doing great. The daughter is in running start. The son is doing well in school, and they are no longer homeless. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. And after going through that experience and then hearing what Jenny and her family did, wow. They put in the work. They, I mean, not only did she learn a lot about herself, and she dealt with her own flaws and struggles and her own motives. It was impressive what they did.
Yeah. And of course, we can't save everybody, but do you feel, I don't know, if you had it to do over again, would you do it again?
Yeah, we would have done it again. I would have, maybe we would have gotten some professional help at the beginning. Although I have to say the mom was very resistant to that because she was terrified of having her kids taken away from her.
Mm-hmm.
But we would have done it again. And in talking to them, they say that week of housing is what got them on their feet again. I personally find that hard to believe, but that's what they say.
Thank you for taking care of your fellow human beings, Jennifer.
Sure. Anytime.
And thanks also for this story with Jenny.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Sound Effect Podcast. We would love it if you could rate and review us in iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. And don't forget, you can get us on your smart speaker, too. But you have to say the exact words. The magic words are Play Sound Effect the Podcast. I do not know why, but otherwise you might get some kind of weird sound effects like doors creaking and cars backfiring, whatever it is. In any case, we'll be back in your feed this weekend with another episode. And so for Jennifer Wing and the Sound Effect team, I'm Gabriel Spitzer. See you around.